You asked me a nice question. You asked me to explain something about the Panchanga Bhakti, which is the five most important limbs of devotion, each of which will deliver one to the threshold of love divine, Krishna Prema. Mathura Vasasthali, to reside permanently in Mathura Mandala, Sridham Vrindavan, Braj Mandala, Shirasi Kosh Vrindavan, Dwarasavan Vrindavan. Often in the Puranas it simply stated, and also Rupa Goswami states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and also his Mathura Mahatmyam anthology of Puranic quotes about the efficacy and benefit of various devotional endeavors such as observing Janmashtami and Chaturmasya in the Holy Dham and Magh Mas and Kartik Brat. So he talks many quotations about Mathura Vas, living in Mathura. So Mathura, of course, doesn't only mean the Janamstan or Janambhumi of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Devaki Nandan, or Yashoda Nandan and Gokul Mahavan, but it means the larger Braj Mandal, the Dwarasavan. It includes Varsana, Nandagram, Govardhan, Ramanreti, Vrindavan, Sevakunj, Nidivan, the whole area of the forest of Vrindavan, or even the 12 forests of Vrindavan. It all comes under the category of Mathura Vasasthali, Brajvas, Mathuravas, to live in Mathura. And Thakur Bhakti Santa Sarasvati's, the harmonist, which appeared, volume 31, November 17th, 1934, which is 76 years ago or more. There's a nice article about this Panchanga Bhakti, specifically about Mathuravas. It doesn't say the name of the author, but it may be either Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, the editor-in-chief, or some of his leading devotees. The Shastras declare that Kartik Maina, or the month of Kartik, to be the possess the greatest power in connection with devotion to Thakur Radha Damodar. Kartik is a sacred month to Damodar, and one should spend his whole time engaged in devotional service while living in the holy city of Mathura. Bhagavan Sri Krishna was born at Mathura, which is located in the river Yamuna. 6 miles north of Mathura is Vrindavan, and 7 miles to the southeast of Mathura is Gokul. All three are located on the banks of the Yamuna. Mathura and Vrindavan are on the western side, and Gokul Mahavan is on the eastern bank of Kalindi, Yamuna. Krishna is born at midnight, and he was immediately taken to Gokul by his father Vasudev by crossing the Yamuna, which was flooded. Vasudev and Devaki were imprisoned in a guarded cell by King Kansa. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, Vasudev escaped from the prison unobserved and went back and forth to Gokul after dropping his son Nandanandan in Yashoda's home. When Nandamaraj returned to Mathura, he brought Yashoda's daughter, Yogamaya, just before the end of the night. At the age of about 12 years old, Krishna came to Mathura from Vrindavan after being ordered by King Kamsa to attend a yajna and wrestling match in Mathura. Sri Krishna went to Mathura along with Baladev, and there Krishna killed Kamsa and released his parents, Nandan, Vasudev, and Devaki, from prison and continued living with them for 17 years in Mathura. At that time, the city of Mathura was being repeatedly attacked by the demoniac Asura named Jarasandha. And because of Jarasandha's repeated attacks, Krishna eventually fled Mathura and set up his capital in Dwarka. Bhagavatam and other Puranas describe these pastimes. Damodar is the name of Krishna, who was bound by Mother Yashoda to a wooden husking stand with a rope tied around his belly. The word Damodar means one whose belly is encircled with a rope. Those that are observing the Kartik Brata, which is known as Urja Brata, are advised by the Shastras to live a very austere life during the month of October and November. Such advocates or devouts, they spend the whole day and night discussing Harikatha and chanting the holy names of Krishna, along with like-minded devotees. By strictly observing Kartik Brata, in the association of sadhus, devotees, with faith, then one will develop intense inclination to purely serve Radha and Krishna. But sometimes people externally follow the rules and regulations of the Kartik Brat while living in Mathura. Yet they don't have the opportunity to engage in the service of Krishna. Association with the pure devotee is possible and effective only by the causeless grace of the pure devotee himself. Residence in Mathura occurs only by the mercy of the pure devotee. So Mathura is far superior to Vaikuntha. Think about it. Unlike Mathura, Vaikuntha does not descend to this material world. But Mathura and Vrindavan, they do appear here. Therefore, Mathura has greater power of magnanimity and displays a higher manifestation of the activities of the Absolute than even Vaikuntha. So therefore, because of this point, it's not really possible for any person to be eligible to live in Mathura in the same way that he lives in some other mundane place in this material world. To attain the adhikar, or qualification, to live in Mathura, one must associate with sadhus, chant the holy name, listen to the Bhagavatam, and worship the lotus feet of the Srimurti with alaukik shraddha, spiritual faith. The practice of these four aspects of devotional service, charanga bhakti, will enable one to successfully live in the holy dhamma of Mathura. Sadhus are those persons who help us practice these limbs of devotion, Nam Sankirtan, Sri Murti Seva with faith, Sadhu Sangha and hearing Harikatha, and chanting the holy name of the Lord, and living in Mathura. Residence, or Mathura Vas, Braja Vas, is no doubt the desirable object of our spiritual endeavors. But when you think about it, we also know that the wicked demoniac Asura king, Kamsa, he also resided in Mathura. By residing in Mathura, did Kamsa thereby obtain the fulfillment of his worshipful service? Kamsa lived in Mathura only for his own pleasure, not for the pleasure of Krishna. Kamsa wanted to exploit Mathura and misappropriate the pleasures that belong to Krishna alone. Kamsa attained the state of inactive self-pleasure, in other words, sayujya. Brahmananda, Siyuja Mukti, by being killed by Hare Krishna or Lord Krishna, Gokul. Kamsa did not attain the plane of intimate service of Sri Krishna in the realm of Mathura, although he appeared to be a resident of Mathura. How does one live in the real Mathura? How do we find the real Mathura? One can locate himself and position himself in the real Mathura only by a pure serving disposition, Shuddha Seva Bhav. Kamsa tried not to serve but to enjoy Mathura, like many of us today. But Mathura is not a mundane place. It is not part of this material world. Mathura is the plane of unalloyed spiritual existence, sat, chit potency, sandini potency, in which Krishna manifests himself in his own form to the serving consciousness of his pure devotees. Mathura is the plane of unalloyed spiritual existence in which Krishna manifests himself in his own form to the serving consciousness of his pure devotees. Mathura is possessed of the quality of perfect spiritual initiative. This means that Mathura has the ability to help us initiate things independently. Initiative means the power or opportunity to act or take charge. To act or the strategy intended to resolve a difficulty, improve a situation, to begin. Therefore, this statement that Mathura has a quality of perfect spiritual initiative means if one lives here, he'll get inspired. I get the ability and inspiration, the push to engage in pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, and pure devotional service for the pleasure of Radha Shyam, Radha and Krishna. Mathura is not any mundane country of this material world which possesses no consciousness. It's not some unconscious country, non-insentient, non-living country. Mathura is alive, chaitana, living consciousness. All expansive, dynamic, dedicated, fresh, sweet, charming, expanding consciousness. We can practice our enjoying mood towards inanimate, mundane, material countries, but not towards the transcendental abode of Mathura. If we try to live in Mathura with material consciousness or kaam bhav, or Prakriti Bhav, enjoying this material energy like any other country, then we will miss the experience of actual Brajavas, Mathura Vasa Stali. Those who serve Mathura are enabled by virtue of their discipleship of Mathura to serve in the Mathura of their pure hearts. In the pure heart of such elevated devotees, they will see the manifestation or the appearance of Krishna. A Janmotsava will appear in their hearts, Krishna's Janmotsava. On the plane of Mathura, the cognitive manifestation is not mere relative mundane function. The mental or cognitive function that displays itself at Mathura has no relation in any such way to the mundane activity or inactivity. Such pure cognition of Mathura is absolutely self-contained in its manifestation. This cognition is indispensable. Madhavendra Puripada has sung the glories of Mathura in his famous couplet. There is Mathura in my ear, he said. There is Mathura in the mouth, Mathura in the eye, and in the heart. Mathura now and here, Mathura hereafter, Mathura only. Mathura, exceedingly sweet. Ah, Mathura, you are so sweet. So in this verse we see that Madhavendra Puri is repeatedly repeating the name of Mathura. And in so doing, he points to the identity of Mathura, the heart of the pure devotee, and also to the fact that Mathura is a spiritual entity and the object of our worship. Mathura itself is a spiritual entity And because Ventura is a spiritual energy, it automatically becomes a focus or object of our puja and worship. The heart that is one with or identical with Mathura is not subject to the process of birth, death, or worldly existence. Mathura is a guru, an object of our worship. Mathura is the eternal realm of Krishna. Mathura is the summum bonum. The denizens of Mathura are the servitors of the Lord. Here, Mathura, everything is engaged in the service of Krishna. There can be no entity who does not serve Krishna, no experience except the realization of his service. Every tiny creeper, every little blade of grass of Mathura occupies a submission of superiority to myself. Trinada pisuni chena tarori vasa ishuna amaninamina diya kirtaniya sadhari. In other words, one blade of grass in this Vrindavan is more valuable than my own life. Mathura is not subject to the processes of birth, death, or worldly existence. Mathura is the guru and object of our meditation. The eternal realm of Krishna. That is the summum bonum. The denizens of Mathura are the servitors of Krishna. Here at Mathura, everything is engaged in Krishna's service. There is no one not serving Krishna, and no experience in anyone's mind or heart except realization of Krishna's service. Every creeper, every blade of grass of Mathura occupies a position of superiority to myself. Every one of these living entities in Mathura is my guru, the servant of my Krishna. If one's judgment reaches this point, only then is it possible for him to be a resident of Mathura. Residence at Mathura means the attainment of eligibility to serve all those entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the birth of Krishna. Sri Mayapur is identical with Mathura. At Mathura, the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is beyond mundane birth, manifests his eternal spiritual birth, Avirbhav. People of this world perform the worship of Maya at the close of the rainy season. Maya means that power which is unable to measure or comprehend an entity of this mundane world that one's defective faculties. People of this world perform the worship of Maya at the close of the rainy season. Maya means that power by which one is enabled to measure or comprehend any entity of this mundane world by one's defective faculties. So we're always taking advantage of the Maya Shakti surrounding us everywhere and making up our very bodies of Maya intelligence. We're asking Maya to please see the humor of this world and laugh along with me. We should not measure anyone and try to understand anyone, just live in Krishna Bhakti. This function is performed towards the shadow of the reality. This measuring propensity is the root cause of all our miseries. This tendency to measure and to calculate and to weigh how big something is or how big someone is, this propensity for measuring is the root cause of all our miseries and suffering and anxieties and disturbances and obstacles. Our unswerving disposition is responsible for our own inclination to engage in such activities. Maya dresses up as a measuring lord. Our disposition not to serve is responsible for our inclination in such foolish activities which create our own suffering. Maya dresses up each and every one of us as imaginary lords of this phenomenal world. But Yoga Maya makes spiritual servitors of the divine prayer. Hare Krishna. Radha Damodara Ki Jai.